Good morning again. So glad you have chosen to spend your Sunday morning worshiping with us. Does anybody feel the Holy Spirit here this morning?
Amen.
Glad that you're here and glad that the Holy Spirit is here. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you are here. There's a seat, a card in the seat in front of you. It's got a blue stripe on the top of the card. It says guest. We'd love for you to fill that out. You can leave that in your chair. I'll be out at this end of the foyer at the end of church. We'd love to meet you. You can bring that card with you. You don't have to fill that out, but we'd really like to get to know you and know that you are here. If we get your address, might even be some cookie dough mix on the way to you. So glad that you're here. Also, if you'll keep the registration slips going to the end of the row, and turn with me to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. We're going to pick it up in verse 15. This is a letter to the church in Laodicea. I think is how you pronounce it. If it's not, just pretend it is. And we're going to pick it up in verse 15, chapter 3. These are the words of Christ as given to John as he was writing down this letter of Revelation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about you to spit you out of my mouth. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Speak to us in power and authority. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I've told this story before, but it's been 10 or 12 years ago probably since I told my friend's story. Some of you have probably heard this before, but I started off by telling you back in my youth I played a little football and I have basically my shoulders and knees don't work anymore. That's what happens. But I have bad shoulders and they come out of socket. Okay, I've had four shoulder surgery. It's amazing. I only have two shoulders and I've had four. That's amazing. But anyway. So I'm taking you back years ago. The girls were a little bitty. They were probably in early school. And one year for Christmas, we got them a trampoline. They were little, and really, unless we let them out in the back, they didn't go out. So I set it up in the backyard, and it just so happened this particular Christmas Eve, it snowed. And there was no alley in our house. So we had a backyard fence that we shared with the neighbor behind us. And they had two Dobermans that didn't like me. I don't know why they didn't like. I don't really know if they liked anybody but their owners. But anytime you're out in the backyard, they were barking and they were growling and they were bouncing up on the fence and they seemed pretty mean. Not long before I set up the trampoline, the wind had blown our fence. It wasn't down, but there's a big section that was kind of at an angle, just kind of hanging by a thread. And so all of a sudden, Christmas Eve, it's night. The girls are in bed. They're waiting for Santa. And all of a sudden, it dawns on me, what if in the morning they go out and they're enjoying this new trampoline and the fence falls down and the Dobermans get in and eat my daughters? I mean, it's flying through my head. And so I decided, okay, I told Cheryl, I've got to go out and fix that fence tonight. So I managed to contact the neighbor and I said, look, I need to fix the fence. I'm gonna need a bit get in your backyard to fix the fence. And I told him the story. I said, he had a cage that he put the dogs in. And I said, good, I'll just be a little while. So I go outside and I have this 6-foot ladder, and it was probably a 6-foot picket. And it was one of these kind of, what do you call it? Gothic? Gothic pickets? Come on, some of you fence people. It wasn't the dog ear, it was the Gothic. Okay? That's important. You'll see in a minute. So I get the fence, and on my side I had the horizontal 2x4s on my side of the fence. So I got my ladder next to the fence, and I went up on that middle rung, and I stuck my foot on it, and the 2x4 on its edge is 1.5 inches. So I've got a snow-covered boot clinging to this 1.5-inch 2x4, and I swing my leg up and over, and I nestle into the pickets. Thank goodness that I'm, you know, tall. And I nestle into the pickets, and then I get the ladder, and I get it up and over and put it in the neighbor's backyard, and I swing that other leg off, and I get down there, and I had a rope, and I'm holding a rope and my power drill, and I mean, it was good stuff, you know. And I cinch up this fence and with the rope, and I zip and screws in there, and I get it all secured and everything. And the dogs are just going, even though they can't get to me, they're just going nuts. You can just imagine. So then I decide I need to get back up over, so this time I'm on the smooth side, okay? So I climb up the ladder and I swing my leg over, and this is what I saw. This picture reminded me a little bit of that moment. Go ahead. Now, the only difference, if that cow was straddling just on his back legs, you know, when the pipe was running between the legs, that would have been a little more appropriate, but I felt just like that cow did right there. So, okay, that's good, Lee. All right, so I'm straddling the fence, and I've got this ladder, and I need to get, and I'm holding all this stuff, and it's dark, and Cheryl's in the house sipping cocoa. And I've got to get this ladder up and over to the other side to get down. And I'm pulling it, and I got holding all this stuff, and I'm pulling, and that very last little, you're just that last little half inch won't quite right. Y'all are all worried this is going to come out of socket, aren't you? They've been fixed, okay. So that last little half inch won't quite get over the fence, and so I'm like, man, go ahead, pop. My shoulder pops out of socket. Now, anybody see, what's that movie with Mel Gibson where his shoulder comes out? What is it?
Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon. And he runs into a wall. Like, you don't have to, for me, that's Hollywood. You have to kind of relax and just kind of yank it back in there. Anyway, so I popped out of socket. I've got all this stuff, and the ladder's there, and I'm stuck. And once again, Cheryl's still sipping cocoa inside. And I can't holler for her. And I'm just stuck right there. I'm going to leave you on the fence. I'm going to leave me on the fence. No, I ain't telling you right now. I'll have to tell you later. But I realized a few years later, here's where it gets serious. I realized a few years later that posture, that predicament where I found myself that night, that's where I was spiritually. I was on the fence. And you got the goodness of God over here in my yard, and you got the anger and the bad stuff of the Dobermans over here. And I'm somehow just, I got one leg in this yard, and I got one leg in that yard, and I got pickets in the middle. Today's sermon, is entitled, What's Your Temp? What's Your Temp? You know, many times on a Sunday morning, I want you to leave encouraged. Today, I want the Lord to do some business with us. I want the Lord to do some business. I mean, I always wanted to do some business with us, but I want to challenge us today, and I believe the Lord wants to challenge us today. So in this scripture that we looked at today, God is telling this church, and I think he's telling us, that you're one of three temperatures spiritually. You're one of three. There isn't a fourth option. You're either hot, cold, or lukewarm. I mean, you're one of those three. And perhaps it can vary from moment to moment, to day to day, week to week. But I've kind of spent some time thinking about what's the Lord really mean by hot and cold and lukewarm? And I'm going to start with that word hot. So, hot. What is, Lord, what? Now, that's the best I could do was coming up with what hot water looks like. Does that look hot? Does everybody go, ooh, that looks hot? Jody, that doesn't look hot to you? It's fine. Okay. Hot. So when I think of hot spiritually, I think of being on fire for God. Somebody's passionate about Him. Passionate about His Word. Have you ever, remember the term Jesus freak? Are you offended if somebody calls you a Jesus freak? I'm not. I'd love that. Somebody called me a Jesus freak. It was, that phrase was coined. I actually did a little study on that phrase. It was coined like in the 60s and 70s, and it was originally intended as an insult to people that everything was about Jesus. And they originally considered it an insult. But you know what? The word Christianity was originally considered as an insult. The word Methodist was originally considered as an insult. If somebody wants to call me that, I'll gladly carry that banner proudly. But it's just, to me, it is just, it doesn't mean that's all we ever have to talk about. It's like, hey, you know, I can't talk about, I like other things. I like to talk about the Cowboys. They did good last night, huh? You know, I like to play golf occasionally. I like to the outdoors. I like to, you know, just do different, like to be with my family. So it's okay to have other interests, other hobbies or whatever. But are you on fire for God? Are you passionate about Him? Hot. Cold. Cold to me, and what I think the Lord is saying to us is that people that don't really know God, they maybe, perhaps, have rejected Him, but perhaps they've never heard about Him. They really don't know the gospel. The two words that kind of come to mind is an atheist and an agnostic. An atheist being someone who says there is no God. An agnostic says, I really don't know. I don't know. So they don't place their faith in God because they just don't know. So cold, you really just don't know God. And then lukewarm. This is where it gets a little challenging for us as we let the Lord kind of dissect our hearts a little bit. And this is what I came up with about lukewarm. Christian in name only. Ooh, ouch. That one hurts, doesn't it? To even think about that. Christian in name only. Having a form of godliness but lacking passion and power. I was reminded, Paul says it this way to Timothy, his protege, in 2 Timothy 3, he says it this way, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers. Now, see if this doesn't sound like perhaps some things we see in our culture today. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now listen to this. In verse 5 he says it, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. That's what the word says. So what that tells me is the people that kind of fit in that definition, he's saying, you know, all of this is like that they're proud and they're boastful, they're lovers of themselves and so on and so, all that list. And he says, they'll have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. Well, that tells me kind of lukewarm. Christians in name only. So God He's given us three categories that we might fit in, hot, cold, or lukewarm. What's interesting to me as we unpack that scripture is God, this is really interesting, God doesn't speak harshly against the cold, does He? People that don't know God, I tell people all the time, it's like, I say this all the time, that lost people are supposed to act lost. When you don't know Jesus, it's normal to behave in such a way that you don't know Jesus. But the one that God speaks against is the lukewarm. I wish he says, these are words of Christ, I wish you were either one or the other, hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Now, if you unpack that word spit in the Greek, it really means, are you ready? It really means to vomit. In other words, what I'm reading, you may read it differently, lukewarmness nauseates God. Anybody else reading it different than that? Lukewarmness makes God sick to his stomach. That's what it says to me. It's interesting, again, that lost people don't nauseate God. Lukewarm people nauseate God. So, I guess the question I think the Lord would ask us is, what are we? Where are we? What temperature? I ran across this passage out of 1 Kings, and you need to read more to surround this, but I'll give you a little bit of the background here. But Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 18, I think I listed the verse there for you, but Elijah is God's prophet, the Lord's prophet, and the people have... they're living among the people that worship Baal. And Elijah is the lone prophet of the Lord. He's number one. He's the only one. The prophets of Baal, as I recall, there's like 450 of the prophets of Baal. And so Elijah says to God's people, he says this, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? Now listen to this. This is important. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Don't you love that? Make a choice. Make a choice, he's saying. If Christianity is worth anything, it's worth everything. I'm back to straddling the fence. I remember those years when, you know, I was raised right and I knew about God and I was a professing Christian and all those things, but it's like my life didn't reflect it. Depended on what group I was with that particular moment. Francis Chan, I love Francis Chan. Somebody needs to help him get passionate someday, but Francis Chan tells a story. I actually ran across a video of him telling this story about a Christian man in India, and he's actually a pastor now, and then this man's telling his story, and he said Francis Chan asked him, when did you become a Christian? And this man said, when I was 11 years old. And Buddhism is the religion of choice there in India. And his family was Buddhist, and he came home one day at 11, and he had been presented the gospel, and he had accepted Christ, and he told his dad at 11, I've accepted Christ, I'm a Christian. His dad said, gather up your stuff. It was raining, he said, that day. He said, gather up your stuff and get out. He kicked him out into the rain at 11 years old. And from that moment on, he was on the street. And he grew up, he stayed firm to the faith, he grew up, and Francis Chan went on to ask him more questions, and he said, as Francis Chan's looking around the community of Christians there in India that this man pastored, and he said, all your people, all your Christians are passionate. In other words, they're hot. It's like, where's your lukewarm people? And that the man said, we don't have any lukewarm Christians. Because here, if you profess Christ, it costs you everything. You don't do that haphazardly. Because it costs you everything. So why would this 11-year-old boy go to his family and say, I'm a Christian, when he knows the results of that? Get your stuff, get out. You're no longer my son. It's Christianity, to call ourselves a Christian in this culture, it's easy. It's easy. Although it is getting more challenging in the days that we're living in. If Christianity is worth anything, it's worth everything. So, I want to ask you some questions. Does our use of time, how we spend our time, does it confirm our devotion to God, or does it make Him nauseous? And what's important to us, how we spend our time? Does the way we treat our family confirm our devotion to God or make Him nauseous? How about the way we treat our enemies? Does the use of our money, our resources, our blessings confirm our devotion to God or make God nauseous? Does our computer use confirm our devotion to God or make Him nauseous? How about our social media conversations? I'm amazed at the things people say behind a computer screen. I'm just amazed at how people talk to one another. Do our social media conversations confirm our devotion to God or make Him nauseous? You know, this may be a room filled up with hot, on fire Christians, but I also have a feeling that there may be some of us, and I'll put myself in that category, that in some cases we're lukewarm. God is still working on us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us that forms us into His image. And I talked about this, I believe, last week, that we are God's masterpiece. We're His workmanship. And it's like this table was His workbench. And He doesn't strap us down to work on us. We have to lay ourselves on His bench. And sometimes when He's got that hammer and chisel out, Risha talked about marriages. Did you know that marriage is one of the ways that God shapes us? I know I've grown by being married. Cheryl, I promise I have. I mean, we learn how to work and compromise and how to meet each one another's needs and all that. So God is at work on us. He wants us to be passionate about Him, passionate about His people, passionate about His Word. So church, I'm going to leave you today with that question of what's your temp? What's your temp? Are we hot, cold, or lukewarm? If you just bow your heads with me. Lord, forgive us, Lord, when we are lukewarm Christians. Forgive us, Lord, when we maybe even talk a good game, but our life doesn't show it. Forgive us in those places where we are on the fence, spiritually on the fence in our lives. Jesus, You said, if anyone would come after You, that they must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow You. It's costly. It means sacrifice. It means surrender. Teach us how to be hot, on fire, passionate believers in Jesus Christ. May the world never see us lukewarm. May our temperature never be lukewarm. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The ending of my story, if you stand as we conclude our service today, the ending of my story is really anticlimactic. While Cheryl was warm in the house, sipping her cocoa, I managed to get the ladder, dropped the ladder, dropped all my stuff, yanked my shoulder back in socket. That's a pleasant thought, isn't it? Crawled down, gathered up my stuff, went in the house, and whined. I mean, that's it. That's the end of the story. If you don't know Jesus Christ, man, don't leave this place today without knowing Him. Because He loves you. He loves you. Just a reminder as we close today, immediately after church, just a show of hands, quick show of hands. Okay, if you can't make it, how many of you planning to go down and pack some food boxes? Eat lunch. Several of you, good. I invite you, with Cheryl and I are going to be there, I invite you to come and join us right down the street at the Lutheran Church.